Hello and welcome to Daily Prayer today for June 11th, 2021. Glad that you are with me. I'm Reverend Aaron Ochart. Let's go ahead and get started. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Gracious God, we give you thanks that through the gift of our baptism, you have embraced us as your own and made us one in Christ's body. By the power of your Holy Spirit, continue to nourish and strengthen us in the ways of faith, hope, and love through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our readings for today are Psalms 84 and 148. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4a, 5 through 7, and 9 through 11. 2 Corinthians 12, 11 through 21, and Luke 19, 41 through 48. Listen for God's word to speak to you. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. Happy are those whose strength is in you, and whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold your shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. God bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God in the heights. Praise God, all his angels. Praise God, all his host. Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars. Praise God, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for God commanded, and they were created. God established them forever and ever. God fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters in all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling God's command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for God's name alone is exalted. God's glory is above earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all God's faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. And from Song of Solomon, from chapters 2 and 4. The voice of my beloved, look, he comes, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands, behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of singing has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." How beautiful you are, my love. How very beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats moving down the slopes of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them is bereaved. Your lips are like a crimson thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built in courses. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, that feed among the lilies. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, I will hasten to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my bride. You have ravished my heart with a glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How sweet is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than any spice. Your lips distill nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The scent of your garments is like the scent of Lebanon. And from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 11 through 21. I have been a fool. You forced me to it. Indeed, you should have been the ones commending me, for I am not at all inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with utmost patience, signs and wonders and mighty works. How have you been worse off than the other churches? Except that I myself did not burden you. Forgive me this wrong. Here I am, ready to come to you this third time, and I will not be a burden because I do not want what is yours, but you. For children ought not to pay for their parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for you. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Let it be assumed that I did not burden you. Nevertheless, you say, since I was crafty, I took you in by deceit. Did I take advantage of you through any of those whom I sent to you? I urged Titus to go and sent the brother with him. Titus did not take advantage of you, did he? Did we not conduct ourselves with the same spirit? Did we not take the same steps? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defiling ourselves before you? We are speaking in Christ before God. Everything we do, beloved, is for the sake of building you up. For I fear that when I come, I may find you not as I wish, and that you may find me not as you wish. I fear that there may perhaps be quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and that I may have to mourn over many who previously sinned and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and licentiousness that they have practiced. And from Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 48. As Jesus came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave within you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God. Then he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling things there. He said, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Every day he was teaching in the temple. The chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people kept looking for a way to kill him. But they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were spellbound by what they heard. That's not what I want. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, our readings for today, continuing on in in the Song of Solomon, we get a little bit more randy in this one, and you see some examples of those sort of praises for this woman. First, the first part starts out with praises for the man, for Solomon. From the bride. She says that he's like this gazelle jumping or like a stag, a very sort of leaping and very athletic, right? Arise, my fair one. And then we have the some words from the beloved to the bride. And we have a idea of some of these probably culturally don't quite line up, but we can see how maybe they do, right? How very beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Okay, we can get that one. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Not one I would suggest to use on your beloved. That your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes or sheep, right? Female sheep that have come up for the washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them is bereaved. So you have all the normal number of teeth is what they're saying. Your lips are like a crimson thread. Okay, that makes sense. Your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like a halves of a pomegranate behind your veil. Okay. Your neck is like a tower of David. All right. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that feed among the lilies. Being a little bit more forward with that, I see. Things like I will hasten to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Definitely veiled references to female body parts. You have ravished my heart. There is one thing I will note. The beloved says, my sister, my bride. That's not to mean that this is a familial sort of connection, but that more of a... like a dear one. And yeah, anyways, this is not quite Alabama that we're talking about, or West, I don't know. How sweet your love. And again, the Christian take on the Song of Solomon usually is that this is a beautiful sort of explanation or way to understand Christ's love for us as the church. Then we have 2 Corinthians. Paul is continuing to sort of commend himself and sort of exonerate himself before the Corinthian church and before these super apostles that he talks about. And he basically says, do you think I'm less than these others because they charged you a lot of money and I did not? Does that actually make me less? That seems really strange. I'm going to come to you again, and I don't want to be a financial burden on you. I just want to serve you. And if you think less of me, then, you know, maybe that has some problems. You know, there are certain things that I want from you. There are certain things that you want from me. I don't want to come to you and have to tell you all the things that you're doing wrong. That's why I'm sending this letter ahead of time. That's why I have set these standards so that you know what are the standards, what, how should we be living as the church? And therefore, I don't have to, you know, we don't have to have a awkward or challenging visit together. Speaking of challenging visits, we have Jesus coming to Jerusalem. He looks down and says, "Oh, Jerusalem," and cries over it. Says that if you would only recognize on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. He mourns the eventual destruction of Jerusalem. And it seems that Luke is making this very clear connection that because Jesus was not received correctly, and remember, this is still Palm Sunday. He has just come into Jerusalem. The Pharisees said, you know, tell your disciples to just be quiet, cool it down a little bit. Because he was received in that way, he says there's a direct connection between the way Jesus was received and what will happen when Rome comes and destroys Jerusalem. And Jesus comes to the temple, right? This is the first time Jesus has come to the temple as an adult. And he sees what is going on, and he drives out those who are selling as if it's a marketplace, yelling that it is written, "My house shall be a house of prayer." And Jesus sets up shop there in Jerusalem, in the temple. He sets up shop in the place where the seat of Jewish authority is. It's as if someone had, you know, if someone came into our sanctuary and kicked us all out and said, no, I'm setting up here. This is going to be my place now. And he starts to teach and preach there. And the leaders just, they don't have anything to say about it because all of the people are on his side. They don't want to, you know, make a bad political move. And so they just kind of don't do anything. They want to kill him. And in fact, we will see, you know, this is the last week of his life. They're going to be successful, but that's where things are set here. So now, as we are reading on in Luke, we are reminded that he is in the temple. Most of the interactions that he will have with people will be in the temple itself. He is teaching and preaching there at the very seat of power. Maybe a better sort of connection would be, you know, somebody comes into the White House and kicks everybody out and says, "No, I'm setting up shop here," or setting up office hours in, you know, on the Senate floor when you're not actually a senator. You know, that it's that sort of level of thing. Anyways, let's go ahead and join our hearts together in prayer. Satisfy us with your love in the morning, and we will live this day in joy and praise. God of all mercies, we praise you that you have brought us to this new day, brightening our lives with the dawn of promise and hope in Jesus Christ. Especially we thank you for ministries of discernment and governance. Those who teach and those who learn. The community of faith in your church. Reconciliation in our relationships. All gifts of healing and forgiveness. People of God, for what else do we give thanks? We give thanks that Bill is recovering well after cataract surgery. We also give thanks. My grandfather is recovering from surgery as well. Merciful God, strengthen us in our prayer that we may lift up the brokenness of this world for your healing and share in the saving love of Jesus Christ. Especially we pray for the church in Europe. Safe, clean, and renewable energy. Those who are lonely and forgotten. Those from whom we are estranged. All who glorify you in worship and service. People of God, for what else do we pray? We pray for John and Jan, friends of Bill's. John is reacting poorly to a COVID vaccine, and Jan is in and out of consciousness after a stroke. Hospice has been called in for her. We pray for Tom, a friend of Sandy's son, who has stage 4 lymphoma. For Joy, a neighbor of Debbie's and former play school teacher who is in the hospital and has been diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. For Diane and David, who are experiencing health issues. And for Barbara, a friend of the church, who has health issues as well. Eternal God, you are the source of every gift and the fountain of all blessing. Give us such joy in living and such peace in serving Christ that we may gratefully make use of all your blessings. And joyfully seek our risen Lord in everyone we meet. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Now let us continue to pray using the words that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, so far as it depends on us, let us live peaceably with all. Amen. Bless the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Thank you so much for joining me today. Join me tomorrow for some more. Like this video, share it with someone else, or follow if you are listening to this as a podcast. Go to our website, johncalvinchurch.org, for more information and to check out all the other things that we are doing. Our liturgy today came from the Book of Common Worship, the Presbyterian Church USA, 2018 edition, and our readings came from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible using the daily lectionary readings. Thank you for joining me. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time. Bye.